A yellow noon lay on the green land, and the water glittered with silver. The company took their places in the boats, and the elves of Lórien with long grey poles thrust them out into the flowing stream, and the rippling waters bore them slowly away.
Last upon that which was fairest. Henceforward I will call nothing fair unless it be her gift. Tell me, Legolas, why did I come on this quest? Little did I know where the chief peril lay. Torment in the dark was the danger that I feared, and it did not hold me back. But I would not have come had I known the danger of light. And joy. Now I have taken my worst wound in this parting.
I count you blessed, Gimli son of Glóin. For your loss you suffer of your own free will, and you might have chosen to remain. But you have not forsaken your companions, and the least reward that you shall have is that the memory of Lothlórien shall remain ever clear and unstained in your heart.
Memory is not what the heart desires. That is only a mirror. Or so says the heart of Gimli, the dwarf. She's too low in the water with all this baggage, and the great river is swift. I do not wish to drown my grief in cold water. Give me that paddle.
For 4 days, the company travelled down the great river, Anduin. The dull grey hours passed without event. The lands changed slowly. The trees thinned, and then failed altogether. They camped at night on a small island close to the western bank.
Mr. Frodo, are you still awake?
Just about, Sam.
Mr. Frodo, I had a funny dream an hour or two before we stopped. Or maybe it wasn't a dream. Funny it was, anyway. I saw a log with eyes. At first I thought it was just an ordinary log, floating along behind Gimli's boat. Then it seemed as if the log was slowly catching us up. Then I saw the eyes. Two pale sort of points, shiny like on a hump at the near end of the log. What's more, it wasn't a log, for it had paddle feet. That's when I sat right up and rubbed my eyes, meaning to give a shout if it was still there when I'd rubbed the drowse out of my head. But whether those two lamps spotted me moving and staring, or whether I came to my senses, I don't know. When I looked again, it wasn't there. What do you make of it, Mr. Frodo?
I should make nothing of it, Sam, if it was the first time that those eyes had been seen, but it isn't. I saw them back north before we reached Lórien, and in the tree by the silver load. And I have often thought that I heard the sound of feet pattering behind us.
I don't want to disturb you, Mr. Frodo, but thinking of one thing and another, and Mr. Bilbo's stories and all, I fancy I could put a name on that creature, at a guess, a nasty name. Gollum, maybe.
Yes. That is what I have feared for some time. The miserable creature must have been hiding in the woods by the river, watching us start off.
Yes, that's about it. And we'd better be a bit more watchful ourselves, or we'll feel some nasty fingers round our necks one of these nights, if we ever wake up to feel anything.
Yes.
I'll keep watch tonight.
All right, Sam.
The night passed without Gollum showing so much as a shadow again. Now the company journeyed mostly by night and twilight, resting by day and lying as hidden as the land allowed, always keeping watch for bands of marauding orcs. On the ninth day, they reached the impassable rapids of San Gabir, and they carried their boats along the bank until they came to a wide ravine, which narrowed in the distance to a chasm with cliffs rising to an unimaginable height on either side.
The gates of Argonath! Have we passed by the rapids of San Gabir to perish here?
Fear not! The water is swiftly flowing, but it is clear. Long have I desired to look upon this place, to see those two great pinnacles of stone. Those are the pillars of the kings. Keep the boats in line and hold the middle of the stream.
They have been shaped into the figures of kings.
They are the likenesses of Isildur and Anarion, my sires of old. Under their shadow, we have naught to fear.
What a place! What a horrible place! Just let me get out this boat and I'll never wet my toes in a puddle again, let alone a river.
But suddenly, the boats shot through the chasm, out into a wider, clearer sky. They came into a long oval lake, and at the far southern end rose three mountain peaks. Wilderland was behind them. They could go no further without choice between the east way and the west.
The day has come at last, the day of choice which we have long delayed. What shall now become of our company that has travelled so far in fellowship? Shall we turn west with Boromir and go to the wars in Gondor, or shall we turn east to the fear and shadow? Or shall we break our fellowship and go this way and that, as each may choose? Whatever we do must be done soon. We cannot long halt here. The enemy is on the eastern shore, we know, but I fear that the orcs may already be on this side of the river.
I shall go to Minas Tirith alone, if need be, for it is my duty. If you only wish to destroy the ring, then there's little use in war and weapons, and the men of Minas Tirith cannot help. But if you wish to destroy the armored might of the Dark Lord, then it is folly to go without force into his domain, and folly to throw it away.
What do you mean?
I mean, it would be folly to throw lives away. It is a choice between defending a strong place and walking openly into the arms of death.
Be that as it may, I fear that the burden of decision is laid upon you, Frodo. You are the bearer appointed by the council. Your own way you alone can choose. In this matter, I cannot advise you. I am not Gandalf, and though I have tried to bear his part, I do not know what design or hope he had for this hour, if indeed he had any.
I know that haste is needed, yet I cannot choose. Oh, the burden is heavy. Give me an hour longer, and I will speak. Let me be alone.
Very well. Do not stray far, or out of call.
Frodo wandered aimlessly at first, but found that his feet were leading him up towards the slope of a hill. He came to a path, the dwindling ruins of a road of long ago. For some while he climbed, not caring which way he went, until he came to a grassy place. Rowan trees grew about it, and in the midst was a wide, flat stone.
I was afraid for you, Frodo.
Boromir.
If Aragorn is right and the orcs are near, then none of us should wander alone, and you least of all. So much depends on you. And my heart is heavy, too. May I stay now and talk for a while, since I've found you? It would comfort me.
Yes.
Where there are so many, all speech becomes a debate without end. Two together may perhaps find wisdom.
You are kind. But I do not think that any speech will help me, for I know what I should do. But I'm afraid of doing it, Boromir. I am afraid.
Are you sure that you do not suffer needlessly?
Hmm?
I wish to help you. You need counsel in your hard choice. Will you not take mine?
I think I know already what counsel you would give, Boromir. To go with you to Gondor. But the world is changing. The walls of Minas Tirith may be strong, but they are not strong enough. If they fail, what then?
We shall fall in battle valiantly. Yet there is still hope that they will not fail.
No hope while the ring lasts.